37th Psalm. Got your book and want to read. And the 23rd verse. May have time for some things in the 24th. Psalm of David. He wrote so many. And they contain such a broad expression of the understandings and the human passions which we encounter along the journey of life. For instance, this psalm is what's called in the Hebrew a mashal, M-A-S-C-H-I-L, and it means a psalm of instruction. Some psalms contain prayers. Some contain express sorrow or joy. But this psalm is in many respects like the Proverbs. It's like a father gathering his children about them and giving them advice on how to live life. Well, as you know, the Psalms were the songbook of the Old Testament church. We have some songs in our hymnal that are like that too, don't they? This psalm is more verses than those in our hymnal are. We'd get tired of singing this many verses, but that's what it is. It's a set of instructions. So maybe it does it no injustice to pick out a particular verse without putting it in its context altogether. And so I'll do so. The 23rd verse says, "The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." The steps of a good man. You've heard that before, haven't you? Steps of a good man. So much in it. Life is lived in steps. Isn't it something? There is nothing you can do to accelerate time or to slow it down. It just moves at the same pace all the time. No matter how eager you are for the future, you can't urge it to get here. Young fellow's 15 and 11 months old, and he knows in one more month he can get his driver's license. But there's nothing he can do to make that go faster. Approach of Christmas, and children get so excited about it, but it comes when it comes. And on the other hand, times when you'd like to make things slow down. It's impossible to do it. Life is lived one step at a time. Steps lead to consequences. Steps, in this sense, mean decisions and actions that you take. Well, it can mean walking down the aisle like this one is. But if you walk down this aisle, sooner or later, you're going to have to do something. You run into the wall. You either got to turn to the light, left, or the right. And whichever way you do is going to determine something about you. If you walk down this aisle in front of me here and you turn to the left, you can go and see out double glass doors. And you can watch the sun rising over there. But if you turn to the right, there's a metal door there. And if you don't open the deadbolt on it, you can twist the handle on it and walk right into that door and get yourself a nice lump right there on your forehead if you want to. Steps have consequences. They're results of what people do. And the consequences of the steps that we take are cumulative. Now, haven't you seen that in life? People start out young. Teenage years, that age of accountability that we talk about sometime, come to the point in time where the Lord makes us know we need to either choose Him or we're going to choose another way. And then making the choice, so many times we see people make the wrong one. Maybe you could underline that this way. I enjoy children. I enjoy them so much. And pray for them. Get a chance, I like to slip back in the back, take somebody's children with me, and have a little season of prayer with them, because those innocent years, so trusting, so unaffected, they change. And after a while, that little boy or that little girl gets into things that they weren't in before. And they change. And it's, I've watched it with some of those that are very near and dear to me. How Roberta and I enjoyed their little laughter and their delight and their presence with us. But they got older and got into things that, oh, it hurts so bad to see them happen. Steps have consequences. And then, and the farther a person goes down the wrong road, the harder it is to come back again. The more the life gets tangled up in things that never should have been there. And our world is so corrupt and sinful today. Almost every child you look at in the world, you say, they're little now and they're innocent, but it's not going to be that way very much longer. And too many times, it's true. It's true. Well, that's pretty gloomy, isn't it? But my little message this evening is that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. It isn't necessary that it be that way. Encapsulated in this concept is the whole reason why we have worship services. And do what we can with our own children and all the other children we can get to bring them in, to teach them. Spare them. Spare them the lash. Spare them the heartbreak. Spare them the tricks and traps and snares of the enemy of their soul. Spare them shipwreck. The old scripture speaks about shipwreck, and when I read that, I get a picture in my mind of those old wooden sailing ships filled with bales of goods, cotton, and those old jars like they used to have, put honey in them and precious juices and things that were very valuable, and seal them with wax. And the ship sails off somewhere laden, intending to deliver the goods, make a profit, make somebody clothing out of the carbon, out of the cotton and so forth, run into a reef, cut the bottom out of the ship. And the bales are getting soaked in the salt water and they're washing up on the shore somewhere and they're no good to anybody. How many lives have we seen that are broken just that way? Far too young, far too soon. I think of the old devil, how the scripture said of him, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. You know, that's what he would like to do to every one of our lives. Sift out of it everything that's useful and valuable and leave us nothing but chaff. I'm glad for congregations. I'm glad for worship services. I'm glad, how could I tell the Lord enough, that I had a father and mother who gave me a chance to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, that I had a chance to be in worship services and have somebody pray for me. What an advantage it is. So most of the people that I've known of my age group growing up are in great trouble today because of having failed to walk in these kind of steps. And I look at it and I say, Lord, I don't know why you had mercy on me and gave me the chance to know what I know, but I am so thankful that you did. Here it is. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. We know what good is. There is a Bible definition of it. And we could take some time and talk about righteousness and all of those kind of things. But I would like to look at it just in terms of conscience. Just in terms of our conscience, you know, it's in us to know the difference between good and bad. Three little children on a school bus and one of them's got a candy bar. Break it in thirds and share it with the others. That's good. It's just something that makes you feel good. And you know good to do it. I think that this scripture can be brought down in a very simple manner. Somebody whose heart wants to do the right thing. Because all that we know and understand about God's ways is not enough if it goes to someone who doesn't want it. Thank God for people who want it. May the Lord help us to want it. May the Lord bless us to know how to present it to those we love in a manner that will help them to love it. The person whose steps follow the ways of the Lord, just as the steps of a person who goes the wrong way lead to serious consequences, lead to losing your ship, losing your goods, losing your hope in life, tossing on the salt waves, uncaring ocean, sweeping it hither and yon. Just on the other hand, the Lord has a way of being the pilot of our ship and guiding us past the rough, stormy shoals. And we look back and say, I didn't know that danger was there. But the Lord said, turn at this time. And I'd listened to that voice because it's always guided me the right way. And now I look back and I am so thankful for what he's done. The steps of a good man. So we want to be good. But it doesn't just mean the masculine gender. It means of a soul. To be good means to set your heart. To do the best you know to do with life. And is that so hard? And isn't that reasonable? Isn't that what we ought to do anyway? Isn't that what we teach our little children to do? Share. Care about somebody else who's in trouble. Be honest. Be generous. Be religious. That's what it comes down to. Steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And how are they so ordered? Well, we'd like to say by his rod and his staff, by his voice behind us. And there is some of that. But that isn't the only way. The steps of a good person are ordered by this. Right here. Isn't it something? When I get in question about anything in my life, or you do, I have the privilege to go get the Bible and look and see what it says about that. And it is so deep and it reaches to so much of our lives. If I study it enough, if I prayerfully entreat the Lord to open it to me, I'll find in the Word of God things that guide my life. So it's some of it is so clear. It's so easy to see. Let him that stole steal no more. That's plain enough, isn't it? That'll order your life. That will keep you out of jail. Neo shows sheriff's jail is full of people who didn't pay attention to that scripture right there. Or the scripture that teaches us not to abuse our bodies. The Lord Jesus defines sin really in two verses. He spoke about, but and if that evil servant will say, my Lord delays his coming. And that's to have unbelief. That's to say that the Lord's not watching. Really, what it means is he promised he would come and he hasn't done it. So he's probably not going to. So I can do whatever I want to. That's unbelief. And that's so common in the world today. And then he said, begin to smite his fellow servant. That means to lie about people. That means to cheat on them. That means to try to take things away from them that we shouldn't have any right to. It means to covet something that belongs to someone else. And then he said, to eat and drink with a drunken. Not a word in the Bible about opium. Not a word in the Bible about methamphetamines. But it's covered in that scripture where he says to eat and drink with a drunken. And he's talking about there abusing our bodies. You can tell the people who do that, can't you? The people who eat and drink with a drunken, well, they're the ones who get cirrhosis of the liver. Because that's what causes that, is alcohol. And as our drug world is today, that's one of the milder ones that there are. You can turn your back on this if you want to. A lot of people have, and you can go right out there and burn out your body. In 5 years' time, you can make it an empty hull of what it was intended to be. But the scripture said the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And you will find, if you will follow in the Lord's way, he'll teach you how to keep your body healthy, strong, protected from so many of the vices that are in the world. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. So he orders them by his word. And he orders them by the example of his people. Where would we be without having had holy saints who went before us? We talk about it often. We come out here to meeting and we talk about the people we've known who've walked this way ahead of us. I've known some carpenters I admired. I don't know any of them I admired like I have my spiritual ancestors. There's just something so different about people who walk with the Lord. Their memory is a guiding light to us. And that's one of the ways that the Lord orders our steps. We say, what would Jesus do? Sometimes it helps us to say, what will old brother so-and-so have done if he were in this situation? Remember, many of you didn't know Brother Darius Gibson, but I did. Brother Darius Gibson was a small man. The Lord called him to go out into sectism often, and he'd go out wherever he had an invitation and get up and preach some strong gospel message. Had folks come to his house one time intending to lynch him. He told us a story how that they had come, brought a rope, were down in his barn, had a rope thrown over a beam, waiting for him to come in. They were going to grab him, had a bale of hay, there's the hair set, going to put him on the bale of hay and kick it out from under him and break his neck. And the Lord intervened. He told us those kind of stories. And I know one of the ways the Lord intervened is that Brother Gibson had the sweetest kind of a smile. It just kind of melts your heart when you saw him do that. It wasn't the only tool at his disposal, but it was one of them. I remember that. That's something that helps me to order my life too. If he could smile, I can smile. If the Lord will bless him in those things, maybe the Lord will bless me in those things. Brother Gibson told about he picked up a hitchhiker, traveled with him for quite a while, and he said the man had so many spirits in him and had so much bad things coming out of his mouth and in his heart and in his mind. He said, I had to go home and pray for 2 or 3 days to rebuke all those spirits. Have you ever felt that way? You get out among people of the world and it's so vile and it's so dark from what we believe in. Well, there was somebody who went there ahead of you. Look down when you walk through that place. You'll find a footstep. The steps of other good men have been ordered in this way too. And they've left some way marks for us to follow. He orders our path by His Word. He orders our path by His people. And He orders our path by His Spirit. Oh, I love that one too, don't you? Have you ever had the Lord give you a check? Just let you know, you need to leave that alone. Well, have you ever disobeyed one of those checks and had it turn out well? There won't be a hand go up to that one, will there? The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. It means guided. It means directed. Oh, my life's been good, but it hasn't been much like I thought it'd be.
Where's that verse at?
The one where I'm reading now? Psalm 37:23. My life hasn't been much like I thought it'd be. I suppose everyone my age could say that. It doesn't turn out like you thought it was going to. We need one who knows the end from the beginning. He winnows our path. Now, what that's talking about is the Lord having a big fan in His hand and going down the path ahead of us and swooping His fan back and forth and blowing everything out of the way that He sees is not what He wants us to have. That's quite a thing for Him to do. It doesn't belong to everybody. If you take your own path, the Lord might go ahead of you for a while, but there will come a time when He'll pull His hand back and let you go headlong into whatever it is you choose to destroy yourself. Ah, but if we'll walk in the Lord's way, He'll winnow our path before us. He'll protect us. His mercy and His Spirit go before us. We can, what a blessing it is when sickness comes, when heartbreak comes, when those we love are taken from us, or we're in positions where we lose business or occupation or advantages in life, to be able to look at it and say, but the Lord allowed this to come. It never would have happened if He hadn't seen fit to allow it in my pathway. The Scripture said, if you be buffeted for your faults, what thank have you? And then that one tries me, because when I get in trouble, I have to look around and see, did I do something that caused me to get into this? And if I did, I better fix it up with the Lord, because I won't suffer for it. But if the Lord gets you into it, there's a blessing there. There's a blessing in that. You love it? I do too. Thank the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Maybe this is the capstone of this whole scripture. He delighteth in His way. Earlier in this psalm, the Scripture commanded us to delight in the way of the Lord. We ought to do that, if for no other reason than because of what it brings us. Sometimes I think of delighting in the way of the Lord like a miner going down into a dark mine somewhere. The work is hard. It's difficult. It's poorly lighted. Digging in the dirt with a spade and a pick. Load what you get in a shovel, in a wheelbarrow, and got to push it uphill all the way to get out of the mine. But when you get to the top of the mine, aching muscles, sweat running down your face, tired and weary, and your wheelbarrow load hits the sunlight, it's all brilliant gold. You forget about how hard you had to work for it. You rejoice and can hardly wait to go back and do some more of it. because of what it is. And maybe it's hard work to get it. Well, it ought to be that way with us about the goal the Lord wants to put in our lives. But in fact, if we'll follow Him, it's easier than that. He has a way of making it so that when we have to dig and our face gets sweaty, He's there to comfort us. He doesn't ever let it be more than we can bear. It's worth the trouble to dig in this field full of hidden treasure. It's worth it to dig there. It'll be a benefit to us, but not only that, will it be a future benefit while we're doing so. It's a benefit because the Lord is there with us. But that's not all that He said. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. I try, Lord help me, to keep my way open to the Lord. I'd like Him to examine it. Well, there's scripture for that. Some men's sins are open beforehand. If I got anything on hand that's grieving Him, I'd rather deal with it now. Some they follow after. We're going to meet them all somewhere. I'd rather deal with them now than deal with them at the judgment. And I worry about that. Maybe you don't, but I do. I worry about that. That occupies a good bit of my prayers and my thinking. Lord, search my heart. I see myself so much less well than other people do. And I need You to give me understanding. Help me hold a mirror up to me. To have the Lord come back and say, I delight in Your way. That is the capstone of it, isn't it? Isn't that what you'd like to have? Go out to pray and have the Lord say to you, I'm pleased. I'm pleased. You did what I wanted you to do. Well, that's what this says. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. I want the Lord to delight in my way, don't you? And so, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. Some have taken this to mean eternal security. Once saved, always saved. I don't read that into it, but I don't want to take time to explain all the theology of it, maybe this moment. What I do understand in it is that people are human. People fail. People, being people, usually learn more by their failures than they do by their successes. If you succeed at something, you do it the same way. If you fail and you want to keep going, you figure out what you did wrong and try to do something to correct it. Yeah. Driving down the road, run off in the ditch. You don't just keep doing it that same way all the time, do you? Try to figure out how to make it better. Well, I'm thinking of a man I knew, extreme case. He came to the altar. He got saved. He got gloriously saved. I think he did. Dear friend, he got in a temptation. He went to a party, and the folks were drinking. And before he got away from there, he had something to drink. And he gave up. He just gave up. I talked to him about it. What was I going to do, Brother Ed? I thought my salvation would keep me. He said, I can't say it was the Lord's fault. I knew better than to go. He checked me. But I went there and said, friend, I'll tell you what to do. Come and repent. Ask the Lord to have mercy on you. You don't have to stay there. The scripture said, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. There are times when people fail. Sometimes you just feel like you failed. But I'll tell you what happens when you get there. The devil will put one foot on one side of your path and the other foot on the other side and vow to you that this is as far as you're going in your heavenly journey. He'll ride your failure on your shoulder till you cannot find the courage to rise above. Well, my glad message to you this evening is that the Lord said concerning this, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. He didn't say he won't be cast down. If you fall, you're going to be cast down. Paul said he was cast down. We said not forsaken. He'll not be utterly cast down. Peter got cast down, but he was not forsaken. He was not utterly cast down. Peter got delivered from that. You remember what happened to Peter? Peter denied the Lord, and he denied the brethren, and he denied the church. All three of them. I wonder what John and Andrew thought about that when they heard Peter saying, I never knew you fellas. Well, that's what he said. I'm not one of them. And the Lord wanted to use him, and there was nothing Peter could do to regain that confidence, but there was something Jesus could do. He came back and paid him a visit in front of those very same apostles, and he asked him 3 times, lovest thou me more than these? And when he got done, the Lord told him, go and feed my sheep. And which one of the apostles could look at that and say, well, he's not qualified now? When the Lord told him, and we all heard him, he restored him. The Lord knows how to restore us, folks. People fail. People are human. People fail. Thank God we've got a Savior who never did. And he knows just what to do with us when we get in those kind of places. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Folks, in order to not be saved, you have to willfully neglect the great love of God that reaches out to you all the time. You have to disregard it. And if you get in a place, or I do, where we fail, in order for that to be the end of us, for us to lose our soul there, we have to willfully refuse the hand of the Lord that's reaching out to us to lift us up. You have to say so many words. I know it's there. I know that it's not necessary for me, this failure to be the end of me, but I don't want this mercy from the Lord. I want to go on in the failure that I had. Otherwise, his hand will lift us up. We may have some tears to shed. We may have some prayers to pray. That won't hurt us. We need to do that anyway. I'll tell you who has tears to shed. They're the people who lay there. Oh, that brings heartache and sorrow. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So I commend you and your souls and mine to the delight of the Lord, to his leadings, to the path that he sets before us. And also, when we face our failures in life, whether it be you or whether it be your brother, if you see him fail, comfort one another with these words. One of our songs, I love it so well, speaks about when the heart is sad and lonely and the eyes with tears o'erflow, gentle deeds and words of kindness fall like sunlight on the snow. Let us help our fallen brother. Lift him gently by the hand, speaking words of cheer and comfort. Point him to a better land. Our example can make the difference to somebody who's failed. Oh, brethren, when we get in a place where any of us should fail, don't stay there in that place. The Lord's love is greater than that. His salvation is greater than that. His hand is able to get under us and hold us up. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention this evening. Amen.